Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Very good. Amen. All right. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And did want to say it's good to see the announcer stand in the outfield of the baseball field up. That is an announcer stand. That's not a deer blind. And you'd be surprised. There are some deer. Anyway, some coyotes, actually, you could shoot from that thing. It's also not a dove blind. I don't know if you such a thing, but anyway. Be no more dove hunting in the back of the property anymore. Things covered up. Before we turn to Matthew 6 and verse 9, which is a very familiar passage talking about the what others call the Lord's Prayer, it really should be titled the Model Prayer. The Model Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. And we're not going to turn over there, but that's where the Lord's Prayer is found and where Jesus prays for his disciples and even prays for believers. In fact, prays for us who would believe in the future. And so John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, that is most popular, is the model prayer. The disciples asked the Lord how to pray, and he gave them a model prayer. I just want to touch just on the very first of that. We think about the model prayer and how to pray. He says there, when thou prayest, look at verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of man. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And we understand what that's saying. It's not talking about us praying publicly here in the auditorium, though we ought to be careful how we do that. But this is the Pharisees and Sadducees and those who would dress and very much Pharisaical garb. I mean, they're dressed in robes and stand on the side of the road and make a big show of their prayers and so forth. He says, but when thou prayest, verse 6, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do. And you see that in Buddhism and others where they chant those prayers and all that humming and the chanting of prayers. He says, don't chant your prayers. It's not a vain repetition. He's not saying here you can't pray for something over and over again. Like if we're praying for somebody who's sick, we're praying for Chris Watson, certainly we can pray for them over and over again. But it's talking about that same chanting prayers we hear. I think borderline, some of you may be familiar with the book of prayer or the prayers that some of the other denominations use, where they're just repetitioning and repeating prayers. And I think that's something we need to be careful about. For they that think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Amen. Then he goes into it. After this manner therefore pray ye. The model prayer. Here's how you should pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight again for your love, and help us, Lord, to be people of prayer, as we've learned in the revival meeting, and just a renewed understanding, a renewed spirit, a renewed vigor to be people of prayer. And Lord, we thank you for this model we have. In Jesus' name, amen. The model prayer is our biblical foundation for prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we think about the first step in prayer should be praise. Should be praise. And we have that acrostic we've been using. I've been using that acrostic for years. Pray, P-R-A-Y. The steps of prayer, number one, is praise. Praise God for who and what he is. Praise God for who he is. This would include thanksgiving and praying and thanking him for all that he is. When we enter into prayer in our prayer closet, we ought to thank him. We ought to praise him first. Secondly, we ought to repent of our sins. Repent of our sins. I mean, this was covered in the revival, and before we've done some preaching on it, that, and that's why I read that other verse. If you don't forgive somebody's trespasses, God's not going to forgive you. And you need to repent. You need to get right with the Lord in order for the Lord to hear your prayers. The Bible says that God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. If there is sin in your life, God's not going to hear your prayer. And so if you have an ought against someone else, God's not going to hear your prayer. So it's very important that we come to God, praise Him, and then repent of our sin. Repent. And then ask. A is for ask. So we have praise. P for praise. R for repent. A for ask. Prayer means ask. So if you pray and you don't ask for anything, you haven't prayed. It means ask. That's what it means. So it's not wrong to go into prayer and ask for something, or ask and pray for someone else and asking God to do something for someone else, or whatever it may be. But I always say ask means ask for others and then yourself. Always ask for others first. So prayer, praise, pray, praise, repent, ask for others and then yourself. And then why is yield? Yield to whatever God wants you to, whatever God wants, whatever His desire is. That's what we want, isn't it? We want His will. And so here we see the first step is praise, to praise Him. Again, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed means to revere or to sanctify. The word sanctify means to set apart. Our prayer time should begin with God's name set apart as the object of worship. As the object of worship, the object of our praise. Again, thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. Praise means vocal adoration of God. Since adoration brings man into immediate and direct contact with God in the role of servant to master, or the created to the creator, it is foundational to all other kinds of prayer. We think about prayer of intercessory prayer and all the other prayers, but praise is the first step. It's the immediate response of our heart to Him. So, Lord, thank you. We ought to be a thankful people and praise Him, the Creator, the Creator, the created, praising the Creator, the servant, praising the Master. Again, praise Him. And I'm not going to linger on this long, but praise Him, as Brother McCracken said, and I think Brother Sam Davidson covered it even the previous year. This is not praising Him. It's not wrong to raise your hands, whatever the case is. But to worship and praise Him is to bow before Him, is to humble before Him. And so to equate this with praise is biblically wrong. And it really comes down, and we preached on this just a ton before the revival meeting, comes down to the heart. I had this question just here recently from one of our new members who said, how should we pray? In other words, do we need to be kneeling, or can we pray in the car? I mean, can we pray? Yes, you can pray anywhere. Can you pray with your eyes open? Yes. Because God is not so much concerned about the outside as He is the inside. It's not the posture of your body, it's the posture of your heart that God's concerned with. That we kneel before Him. Of course, if you're going to pray over Whataburger as you're going down the highway, don't close your eyes, You go through the drive-thru, right? Don't close your eyes. Our Brahms, Taco Bell. I got food in there somewhere today. Just a few days. By the way, I just want to let you know, the guys that I put off my diet till Sunday. I'm already putting it off a little further. That's going to start tomorrow. I'm starting Sunday. Because I don't know if anybody signed up, but I'm signing up for the Biggest Loser here at the church. And I'm going to be the Biggest Loser. I love the way that came across, but I'm starting Sunday morning. It doesn't matter the posture of your body. It's the posture of your heart. Do you humble yourselves before Him in your heart? Are you praising Him? Again, that's why this does not necessarily indicate anything regarding praise. Again, it's not that you can't do this. It's that it matters on the heart. Where's your heart? Praising at the beginning of your prayer puts God in His rightful place, and it puts us in our place. What's our place? Last. He's first, we're last. It's not about us, it's all about Him. And then praising Him. In praise, we declare His sovereignty. He's above all. He is above all. and recognize his nature and power. We serve a great, powerful God. Amen. Praise before confession. In other words, we must first draw our attention to God before we draw attention to self. I don't think we run in there and begin to confess everything, and we run in there and begin to ask for everything. Let's first draw our attention to him. Think about him. By the way, contemplating him is something that David did. And if you go back and read in the Old Testament, you hear about the prophets contemplating him. And as you contemplate him, as you think about him, you really begin, you get an awareness of how great and powerful he really is. Right? I mean, be still and know that I am God. Take a little time to contemplate God, to contemplate who he is. I'm certainly not talking about any kind of meditation. I'm not talking about that type of thing and setting it down and crossing your legs. I'm talking about just being still and taking a little time, just thinking about how powerful and big God is. That when you go to ask, that you can ask believing because you recognize the power of God. Praise him. Praise is unselfish. Praise produces forgetfulness of self, and forgetfulness of self is health. In other words, it produces in us that selflessness that God regards, that God esteems highly. And it's walking in the steps of Jesus. As we recognize God for all he is, we soon realize it is this all-powerful God to whom we will be presenting all of our petitions. That's what I just said. But when we think about him, then we realize we come to a God who is all-powerful, that God can handle anything, that God knows everything. We just read that a moment ago. He already knows what you're even going to ask. In fact, there's another scripture that says the Holy Spirit will help you when you don't know what to ask for. Even our groanings, even when you're in that emotional strain and severe emotional strain, the Holy Spirit will pray for you as such. What a great God we have. Praise sparks victory. In other words, and this was alluded to too here a few weeks ago, when the temple was completed, what happened? They brought in the singers. They brought in the singers. They brought in the sing. They began to sing praises unto God and praises unto him. What happened? God showed up. In fact, so much so they couldn't enter the temple. I think it had a lot to do with praising him. Again, praising him is contemplating him. It's thinking of him and the value and his how great he is. Praising him sparks victory. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Praises of Israel. Praise the Lord means to pronounce him worthy of honor. And he is worthy of honor. To praise God is to prize God, to value and esteem and cherish him, to praise him. I'll give a few things, just some practical things when it comes to praising him. Number one is praise his name. Praise his name. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." Again, we think about the names of God, and we don't have time to go through all of them. We think about the names of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, referencing to our Savior. The Lord means he is boss. Jesus means he's Savior. Christ means he's the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah who was to come. The Lord Jesus Christ, the names of God. Praise his name. Praise the name of the Lord. If you want to get in good with God, this is a quote from Dr. Barber. If you want to get in good with God, brag on his son. I like that. Let me say it again. Dr. Barber quote, not mine. If you want to get in good with God, brag on his son. Might be good to go in and just brag on the Lord. The Lord, the boss, Jesus, our Savior. Lord, thank you, God, for sending your son to die on the cross for me. Thank you for the sacrifice he made on Calvary. And to take time to thank him for his son. Recognizing his son, again, as Lord, our Savior, and the long-awaited Messiah. We think about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, calls Jesus the wonderful counselor, calls him the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Man, what a wonderful Savior we have. He is more than wonderful, and I would sing that song. I'll get one of Missy or somebody come up and sing it, but we'll start. He is more than wonderful than my mind can conceive. More than wonderful. So praise His name. Lord, again, thank You for Your Son who died on the cross. And take some time to thank Him. Number two, praise God for His righteousness. Psalm 35:28 says, "And my tongue shall speak of the righteousness and of the praise all the day long." Let me say that again. This is Psalm 35:28. "And my tongue shall speak of Thy righteousness and of Thy praise all the day long." Again, speaking of how high God is, His righteousness, and the standard in which God has. He's holy. God is holy. Now, God is the standard. I was thinking about this again while I was gone and heard, I got preached to like 5 or 6 times while we were gone. Each Bible college has opening day rallies where they bring in preachers and preach to the students when they come in. And they brought in a man named Brother Ouellette, and Brother Ouellette's an amazing preacher and just fantastic. And he did some good preaching. And one of the things he pointed out again was that God is the standard, not man. Man is not the standard. You can say all day long that you're better than your next door neighbor, or you're better than your maybe somebody in the church, but they're not the standard. God is the standard. God is the standard. Always remember that God is the standard. Praise God for His righteousness. Praise God for high and how holy He is. Number three, praise Him for His infinite creation. This is an easy one. Psalm 150, verse 2 says, "Praise Him for the mighty acts." Praise Him for His mighty acts. God, thank You for creation. Thank You. Again, I pointed out to my class, Norris Seminary last week. I said, listen, God could have created everything in black and white. I mean, God could have created everything to taste, you know, like nothing. Instead, He made things taste really good. I wish I had a sweet Pecos cantaloupe right now. You know, God made those. By the way, why did He make those things? Why did He create color? Why did He create things to taste different? Not for Him, for us. Isn't that an amazing thought? That He, I know He's an infinite creator, an infinite God, and He didn't expel any energy to do those things for us because He's all powerful. He doesn't expend energy. He just, it never diminishes. His power never diminishes. So for Him to do it was a minute thing, but He does think about us. And therefore created things in color and things and people and food, and it's amazing. Praise Him for His infinite creation. No, there's no limits to His acts. You think about the number of birds and the different kinds of birds and cows and trees and galaxies and universe, and the creation, it's been said, is a treasure house of praise. We find an infinite amount of things to praise Him for in creation because it's infinite. Praise Him, number four, for His Word, the Word of God. Psalm 56, verse 10 says, "In God will I praise His Word." In God will I praise His Word. We may praise God for His Word because it is sweeter than the honeycomb. Right? Sweet, much, much more than fine gold. Much better than silver. The Word of God. What if we had a God who didn't communicate to us? Aren't you glad we have a God who communicated to us? He certainly didn't have to. He's God. But He did because He loves us. He desires fellowship with us. And we should thank Him for His Word. We should thank Him for, what if He gave us the Bible and we couldn't understand it? Aren't you thankful we can understand it, that we can read it? We have it in the English language. It's amazing how good our God is. We just should thank Him every once in a while for the Word of God. Thank Him for His love letter to us. Thank Him. Praise Him for His Word. That again, we understand three different ways in which God reveals Himself to us. One is creation, right? Psalm 19, "Lord, Thy glory is above the heavens." God reveals Himself through His creation. God reveals Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then God reveals Himself through His Word. And each one of these are revealed to us by God. Isn't that amazing? And it's through His Word we learn of salvation. It's through His Word we learn of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He made on Calvary. It's through His Word that you and I one day will escape hell and have a home in heaven. We ought to thank Him for His Word. We ought to cherish it. When I go out of town, usually I don't take my preaching Bible. Usually I'll take a different Bible, or I've even gotten a bad habit sometimes of using my cell phone. And the reason, here's the reason why. I don't want to take my preaching Bible anywhere and forget it. And I don't want it to get in the hands of somebody who would do anything to it. I don't want it to be left out. Things slip my mind just like it slips y'all's mind. And I'm about a year away from having to switch Bibles. And this one's about gone. And I don't know what I'll do. I've been using this one since 2001. And it has all my notes in it. And some of my, every once in a while, I'll preach a sermon and put all my notes on the side edges. And they don't make this Bible anymore. And I gave mine away selflessly to Brother McCracken. I won't tell you that whole story. Preachers always buy a second Bible, the same kind. That way you can transfer everything over. You have the same Bible. Because you can even get used to where a particular scripture is. And some of these scriptures I can just turn to and I know what side of the page it's on. And it's amazing, isn't it? You know, spend enough time in the Bible. It's got my greasy hands. In fact, there are places where I can't even mark on it anymore because, you know, the pen won't mark because it's just, you know, dirty. It's not gross. That's awesome. And I love this Bible. I was thinking about when I was gone. I love the Bible, but I love my Bible. I love the Bible that I have read for, 15 years. This particular Bible. I love the Bible. It's an amazing book. Do you love the Bible? Then every once in a while, thank the Lord for the Bible. Amen. Give him credit for what he's done. It's an amazing book. It's a life-changing book. It's dunamis. It's powerful. It's like dynamite. It's a life-giving book. It's an amazing book. Praise him for his word. Again, because God has no limit, our praises of him is limitless. We can praise him all day long. You think about that, we can, lastly, and this is the longest one, and we preached on this about 3-4 summers ago, we can praise him for his attributes. In other words, when you come to him, you praise him for who and what he is. Who and what he is. You think about his attributes, the characteristics of God, and you think about, I'll just go over a few of them. God is spiritual. That is, he is not physical, and therefore is not limited by time or space. God is spirit. He that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen? God is spirit. He's not limited to any space or any confined space or any fixed space. He's everywhere. Isn't that amazing? He is spirit. God is transcendent. Remember this one? God is transcendent. He is wholly other. Sure, there are things that are like him, but there's nothing like him. God is transcendent. He is wholly other, and therefore is able and is above all the circumstances of this life. He is not limited. He is unlimited. He is infinite. He is transcendent. He is separate from man and above man. He is transcendent. And I mentioned a while ago, he is personal. That is, he has self-consciousness. He has a personality. We don't think about that much, do we? That God experiences joy. God experiences sorrow. Said a few times he repented. We can go into that theologically some other time in my office. But God personally thinks about us. God personally loves us. He is able to think about us. And he is a God we can get to know. I love that. It's a God we can get to know. Just like we can read about Abraham Lincoln and get biographies of Abraham Lincoln and get to know Abraham Lincoln, so can we get to know the Lord in the same exact way. We can get his Bible and we can get to know him. He has made that possible through his creation, through the Word, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for us to get to know him. I know my wife. We had this conversation while we were gone that because of Caleb getting engaged to Abby, you know, me and my wife met when we were 13. We've known each other most of our lives. I mean, but we certainly know each other more now than we did at 13. We know each other more now than we did when we got married. We've got to know each other. And we can do that with the Lord. We can get to know him. And that knowledge is not limited. It never ends. You just continue to know Him more and more and more. David said, as the hart, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O Lord. David wanted to know God. Paul said, I count all things but loss, that I might know You, that I might know Him. The power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul wanted to know the Lord. He said, I count all things but dung. I count all things but sewer, that I might know the Lord. We know the verse in Jeremiah, you know, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but him that glorieth, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. God is a personal God who we can know. And who wants to have fellowship with us as well? God is eternal. God is immutable. He never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never has mood swings. Isn't that awesome? Never changes His mind. That's another debate, but never changes His mind. Never. God knows everything. God knows everything. I'm so glad I have something that is fixed, firm. Someone that I can rely upon. Family may let you down. A spouse may let you down. Kids may let you down. Pastor may let you down. Sunday school teacher may let you down. But God will never let you down. Amen. He is immutable. God is independent. He is absolutely self-existent and self-sufficient. He needs no other or any other else in order to exist. And to exist as fully God. God doesn't need anyone. He certainly doesn't need me. He certainly doesn't need you. He is self-existent, self-sufficient. Amen. He created us for His pleasure. He created us for fellowship with Him. I'm thankful for that. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful, the Almighty One. His power is limitless. He's without limitation. He does, He can perform whatever He wills. God being omnipotent does not mean that He will always and in every way exercise His power. As needed, He uses it. In other words, there's times in which He's limited. He promised that if we'll call upon the name of the Lord, He will be saved. We'll escape hell. And he's promised that He's a God who cannot lie. I mean, there's things that He's limited Himself to that are against His nature that He would not do. You know, God can't die. He's God. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows us inside out. I know I mention this a lot, but God knows every thought you've ever had and still loves you. I said it maybe last week or week before, if my wife knew every thought I'd ever had, I don't know that she'd love me anymore, but God does. It's amazing, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. By the way, He knows every thought you've ever had, and He sent His Son to die for you. That's maybe even a little more pronounced. Amen. He knows every thought you've ever had. He knows every action you've ever performed, and still sent His Son to die on the cross for you. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the God I serve. That's the love of God. Boy, if we can just express that and mimic that just a little bit in our own lives, that we follow in the steps of Jesus to love people as God loves people. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. We've already touched on this, but He is spirit, and therefore He's omnipresent. You can run, but you cannot hide from the Lord. And whether you go to the depths of the sea, He's there. You go to the highest parts of heaven, He's there. Lower parts of hell, He's there. You cannot hide from the Lord. God sees everything. He knows everything. God is holy. And God is love. God is sovereign. God is truth. God is wisdom. And on and on and on. But listen, aren't you glad that God in His Word gave us these characteristics in order that in some minuscule way we can understand who and what He is? Because He is holy other. He is holy other. There's nothing like Him. One day, we will see Him. Now we'll see Him in the form of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day to see Jesus Christ face to face. When we pray, we ought to take time to recognize all that God is. Take time. Don't be in a hurry. Now I'm not talking about lunch or at the supper table. I'm talking about in that quiet time, in your prayer time that you were challenged to, and I was challenged in the revival. Most prayers in the Bible were short publicly. In other words, public prayers in the Bible most of the time were short. The value of a prayer is not measured by how long it is. Right? Most public prayers in the Bible were short. But I'm talking about when you're in your closet, when your prayer closet. Prayer is powerful. Prayer opened the Red Sea. Prayer brought water from the rock. Prayer made the sun to stand still. Prayer brought fire down from heaven twice. Prayer healed the sick and raised the dead. Jesus Christ calls us to pray. We ought to pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 500, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Praise Him. Praise Him. That first step in prayer, model prayer. We should praise Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your love for us and the time we've had to come and again learn. I pray that each of us would remember as we enter into that throne room of grace that we would praise You for who and what You are. Lord, that we'd time to be a thankful people. I pray, Lord, that You'd make it as real in our life as like never before. Again, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.